go ahead and call this February Tree Commission meeting to order. I do note that we have two commissioners that are on their way, so we will forego adoption of the minutes until they get here so we can establish a quorum. But first, we need to take attendance, and I will start with my left.
Tommy Carter, Council Auditor's Office.
So much. Daniel Henry, Commissioner.
Delma Roundsville, Commissioner, Northwest CPAC.
Jeff Clements, staff.
Awesome. Do we have any excuse absences, Mr. Clements?
We do not.
Awesome. Okay. So I know we have a number of members from the audience, so why don't we go ahead and do public comment? So why don't you go ahead? Just make sure to give your card to Mr. Clements afterwards.
I will. Thank you. My name is John Nooney. 8356 Bascom Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32216. In fact, I'll just read off my speaker card. You know, I just believe, you know, ethics is gone. You know, 2017-160, public participation, you know, that needs to be restored to the Jacksonville City Council Legislative Committee process. You know, it was removed by OGC, and according, you know, to OGC, the only one that can restore it would be the Attorney General of the State of Florida or the State Attorney of the Fourth Judicial Circuit. Also, you know, comments from the public subject, you know, corruption on our waterways. You know, I asked the True Commission, you know, you need to investigate the FIND, Florida Inland Navigation District grant process, and the EPB, Environmental Protection Board. You know, Pottsburg Creek is an EPB EQD cover-up. You know, you got 2022-0398. You know, our recent fine grants, 2021-0075, 2022-0035, 2023-0046. You know, those will be up for a public hearing at the next Jacksonville City Council meeting. You know, 3 years. You know, this is our ad valorem property tax money. I haven't been able to participate for 3 years. It's horrible. You know, the misuse of the fine grant process, you know, and we're getting a new, you know, grant person, you know, that's going to oversee all this. So the accountability is just gone out the window, you know, and, you know, fine. That is the east coast of the state of Florida. And I've mentioned this before. So, you know, it's like pull the tape. You know, this isn't new. So, you know, you were asking what can the True Commission, you know, look into? Well, look into our waterways because we're getting absolutely crushed, in my opinion. And just to round it out, I'm on Pottsburg Creek. That is probably the biggest environmental disaster in the county. I mean, I'm next to a FEMA house that should have been gone and demolished. I am next to, you know, you're just wiping them. But anyway, I can just go on and on. But anyway, this is the True Commission, and I would hope that you would seriously consider looking into, you know, our waterways and where the money is going, you know, in the minutes. You know, Mr. Chair, you know, there was a reference, you know, to the CIP, the capital improvement projects. Well, you know, we've diverted about $20 million, you know, just for the downtown, for the bulkheads. You know, not saying that it's not needed, but at the same time, you're omitting where Joe Q Public will have access, you know, to this millions of dollars that you're just divvying out just for special interest groups and special projects. So anyway, not sure just where I am, but I'll wrap it up with that. And I hope that you will consider looking into that, our waterways. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. All right. Any other members would like to give public comment? Okay. I note we have three of our five members now present, so I believe that's a quorum. So hopefully everyone has got an opportunity to review the minutes from the December meeting, and I would greatly entertain a motion to adopt them.
I move adoption, approval of the minutes as presented.
A second.
All right, it's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted. Thank you so much. All right. I know since our last meeting we had a number of audit reports, so I will leave it to you, sir, to give us a great description on each one.
Actually, the council auditor's office has released 8 reports since the last Drew Commission meeting. So, hang on, here we go. report number 863, the independent agency quarterly summary for the 12 months ended September 30, 2022, was released on December 14th, 2022. Some highlights from that were the JEA. For JEA, all systems reflected a balanced budget. However, the electric, the wastewater, water and wastewater system, and the district energy system all exceeded council approval budgetary authority and will need to file legislation, which I believe they it was in committee this past week, right, Jeff?
Yes.
So they've done that. The electric authority exceeded its budgetary authority by $223 million. It was mainly due to rising fuel prices through the year. Water and wastewater exceeded by $14.9 million, and district energy by $178,000. JTA, all divisions, again, reflected a balanced budget. However, all 5 divisions, the bus connections, which is the CTC for the city, Skyway, Ferry, and General Fund, or the Engineering Division, all exceeded the council approved budgetary authority and will need to file legislation with City Council. I haven't seen that come through yet, so that's still up to be done. JPA, there was no budgetary stress, at an overall surplus of $5.2 million, mainly break bulk and cruise ship revenues, and along with $4 million in the ARP funding, help contribute toward the surplus. JAA, there was no budgetary stress, had an overall surplus of $48.5 million, mainly due to revenues exceeding budget in car rentals, parking, passenger facility charges, and COVID funding. In the fourth quarter, the city was working on the 2021 single audit, so they did not submit their for the year end. However, Mr. Grivey fully intended to submit one for this first quarter, which the city has submitted a quarterly summary for this first quarter, which was late, but we're reviewing it now, going through it. Any questions on thanks. Any questions on this?
Did Jaya give an explanation as to how they went over on those two sub ones?
JEA. Water and wastewater, it was mainly due to transferring additional funds to their operating capital outlay, which is to basically PAYGO. District energy, for the same reason, mainly dealing for transferring additional funds to their PAYGO for construction or capital projects.
Okay. One more question.
Okay.
JTA.
Uh-huh.
Me to see that it said that all of their divisions went over, so
yes.
I'm just reading that.
For bus, the bus division, it was mainly due to grant funding of the projects. It was the COVID ARP funding they received that, and of course it's reimbursement, so there's extra expenditures relating to that. That's higher fuel costs than budgeted. For the Skyway or for the
CTC, it
It was primarily due to higher than budget fuel costs for the CTC. And then for the Skyway, they had some unbudgeted maintenance costs. The system is antiquated, and so it's incurring a high maintenance cost. So there were some unbudgeted maintenance costs for that. For the ferry, it was primarily due to higher than budget fuel cost. For the general fund, it was primarily due to service expenses. Services was due to they had project management software as well as construction and legal consulting services. So,
did they say what for?
Well, they're doing they're getting that portion of it. They're getting all the consulting end is the best way to handle this and things like that. So I know that was part of it. And then I'm not sure on the legal expense side, what was causing that.
This would be for the final quarter of fiscal year 2021 to 2022?
Correct. Yep.
Is there, I may have asked this in the past, but I wanted to kind of refine it more if I didn't. Is the city's finance department aware when independent agency, quasi-independent because JTA is unique because it's state core that is well, when they're about to go over on a particular expense, or is it because they are completely in-house, we wouldn't really know until we see the quarterly summaries?
Because they're independent agencies, that's the reason behind the quarterlies. If we see a projection that's going to put them over, we'll make note of it. So if they read our report, they'll know that they're projecting to. Unless the actuals, it's usually at the last quarter where the actuals will go over. But, I mean, they're projecting to go over, and I can understand their hesitance because they're not sure it's a projection. So the actuals, they want to come back to council twice, So I know that's part of their thought process, and that's why it's usually done at the end of the year when they have gotten all the expenses.
Was this discussed at finance at all, since they're having to amend their budget, or was it just not really addressed at all?
Well, they'll have to bring their budget amendment to finance. So
it hasn't gone to finance.
Hasn't gone to finance yet.
JEA has.
And it was discussed. JEA's was discussed.
Yeah, they had their finance director there. And basically the answer was fuel cost was just way high. And so we had to have the fuel. We spent it. And now we just have to amend the budget to reflect what the actuals were.
That the only I know it, you kind of went over it, but is fuel the only reason why each one of those divisions went over?
In JTA, primarily, yes.
All right.
And in JEA, it was the fuel cost for the generation.
I only ask the question because I know every time we get the quarterly reports to one independent agency that always goes over is JTA. So. Just curious. All right. Sorry.
Okay, that's okay. Next report is report number 793B. It's a follow-up on the non-residential solid waste franchise fee audit. It was released on December 19th of 2022. This report's a second follow-up on the non-residential waste fees audit. For this audit, there were four outstanding issues out of a total of 14 in the original audit. After this follow-up, there's still two remaining issues. The two that remain There was a $300,000 underpayment in 2015, and Public Works has determined that this payment has passed its statute of limitations, and so they can no longer pursue the item. What had happened was the current hauler purchased the company, on the original hauler that had the underpayment, but that issue was not disclosed as part of the purchase price, and they tried to get it, but their lawyer said this is statute of limitations have passed. We're not going to pay it, so we can't pursue it because it's passed. The statute of limitations is passed on this.
When was it sold?
Hmm?
When was the business sold?
That I don't know.
Oh, I see here, 2020.
Yes. So it was underpaid in 2015. And the second issue is with issues with certificate of insurance. Several were expired, had payment bonds that missing documentation, and so there will be another follow-up to follow up on these items. The first item will have to go away because there's
Management division responsible for doing the yearly review of certificates of insurance?
Well, it's up to Solid Waste to run the certificates by risk management because they're kept on file with the contract. Risk management looks at the certificate to make sure the coverages are correct and things like that. It's up to Solid Waste to make sure.
Is that part of the policy as a city? Whenever we have a certain contract that requires a certificate of insurance, the individual departments are responsible for looking at that on a yearly basis?
They, when there's a contract, yes. Because there is a contract, usually a contract administrator in, like, with the, so that's part of their job to make sure that. So in their response, Public Works response, Solid Waste Division will request certificates of insurance 30 days prior to the current expiration date, as part of the annual renewal. Questions on that one? Okay. Next report, 832A, which is the follow-up on real estate audit, was released on December 19th, 2022. This is the first follow-up on the real estate audit. Original audit had 16 issues, 15 findings, 1 opportunity for improvement. There were 9 issues cleared with this follow-up. There were 7 remaining outstanding issues. Kind of an overview of what's outstanding. Responsible departments were not confirming whether city property was needed. They were not updating the list of surplus properties available for sale. Issues with the auctioning of surplus property. We found that there were no auctions held during 21-22, so we weren't able to test that function, so that'll have to be followed up in the future. There were some accuracy issues with the capital asset inventory. It's maintained by the accounting division. We recommended that the accounting reconcile their records with property appraiser and the real estate division records. And then we also found implementing procedures related to the acquisition and disposition of properties to ensure they're properly recorded on the city's books, particularly with regard to tax properties. And then real estate division is still working on a new system to track city and real estate. IT is scheduled to start this fiscal year.
Do we project how much we'll auction off in a year, or is that, like, how do we account for that?
To my knowledge, there's not a projection for that.
Okay, got it. So when they say that they intend to auction properties in 2023 because they also hired a new employee, there's nothing that kind of projects what that will be. It's just up to them to do it.
Well, there's a process that they're supposed to ask around, check for independent agencies, see if they have a need for the property, if it's surplus, things like that. Governmental, it's like for example, JTA or JEA, any of the independent agencies, if they have surplus property, they will check with the city, is there a need? You know, there's not a need, but the city has needs of it, or the state. There are several properties JTA has had that FDOT wanted. So, you know, kind of back and forth that way.
Is that what you were saying? How, I guess, can you kind of explain how the property appraiser kind of comes into it? Because I imagine they would have the most up to date real time records in terms of surplus property for the city.
Well, actually, the surplus is kept by the real estate division, I believe, here with the city.
But they would know what's off the tax rolls.
Sorry, say that again.
They would know what's off the tax rolls.
If once they come off the tax rolls in the city, it becomes the city's, then. Track of that as part of its inventory of city properties. I know this is riveting stuff, right? Okay. Report number 787B, which is a follow-up on compensation and benefits division audit, was released on December 19, 2022. This is the second follow-up on this original audit of the compensation and benefits. Prior to this, there were seven issues. The original audit had 16 issues. There were six issues cleared up with this follow-up, and there's one finding remaining. And basically, this finding was that had to do with premium payments for health insurance were not collected for retirees, and these are retirees that are not members of the defined benefit plan, so that their paychecks aren't run through the pension office. These are employees that have the 401k, but they still have health insurance. So there's no paycheck running through the city pension office for the 401k. So, and as more and more employees that are on the defined contribution plan, we recommend that a new system or application track these individuals. We found that
important.
Yes. During the follow-up, we looked at 441 health plan participants as of May 2022 who were retirees, former elected officials, survivors of these groups. We found three retirees who were health plan members, but from whom the city plan failed to collect premiums. All three of them were not members of a city-defined pension plan, therefore there were no pension paychecks from which a reoccurring deduction could be made from. The number of individuals not on the defined plan will continue to increase since the defined plan was closed to new members as of October 1, 2017. We recommended a tracking mechanism system that they're, you know, collect via pension paycheck deduction instead of continuing to track them in a spreadsheet. Their response was they agreed with our recommendation. We said we've made the recommended changes to improve our current process. We've requested through ITD to look at automating this through the new OneCloud system. So,
how did they improve the process?
They didn't go into that. They just said we made the recommended changes from what we said that consider implementing some system or application to keep track of premium payments. That we've made the continuing recommendation changes. They've requested from ITD look at automating this. This is something we'll check up on to make sure that they followed up on this. To do.
Who eats the cost for the year it wasn't collected?
I'm sure they probably collected it from the they probably went back and collected it from the employees, but
all at once.
No, hopefully not all at once. I don't know if they did or not on that. But the city is self-insured, so it would be paying for the claims, claims handling, things like that. Florida Blue's our handler for that.
Can we find out what happened with the cost?
Ask.
I mean, I know that we infused it with a whole bunch of ARP funds during the last fiscal year, so I'm sure they kind of thought it was a wash, but I'm just really curious to see how they dealt with it. Am I crazy? Or does that seem weird?
You've asked great questions that I'd like.
Just three, or is
it? Yeah, it's three.
Oh, okay. There's three employees that were affected.
Yes.
Okay. Just oh, yeah. Still. In. Can we find out how they quote improved their current process?
Report number 864, which is Public Works Mowing Contracts Audit. It was released January 5th, 2023. This is the audit. Our audit objective was to determine whether payments were accurately and timely paid for non-nuisance mowing contracts. Those would be such as public right-of-ways, parks, stormwater ponds, etc., and that's administered by the Public Works Mowing and Landscape Division. This audit did not include mowing of private property related to nuisance abatements or sports field. Those are managed by sports field are managed by Parks Department. The overall conclusion from the audit was that there were some control. We found some internal control weaknesses and other findings, which initially brought into question the accuracy of payments by approximately $661,000. It appears that the payments were accurately paid. For that $661,000. However, the payments were not made in a timely manner. The background on this, the city contracts with vendors to mow different portions of the city based on location and property type. Contract contains terms as related to cost and frequency. The schedules are created by the contractor and then agreed to by Public Works. Schedules are uploaded to a database, and the contractor is to mark when a parcel has been moved. Then the city has inspectors for different areas and parcel types that expect them to ensure compliance to the standards. Shortcomings are to be communicated to the vendor to be addressed. Vendors send invoices. So we found we tested 100% of the invoices from fiscal year 19 and 20. We found that out of 158 invoices, 113 of those invoices did not agree with the invoiced amount and showed a net overpayment of $661,000. That's what I was mentioning up above. Out of a total of $8.4 million for the total of 158 invoices. Based on the reviewing the additional support, by looking at amounts charged consistent with schedule mowing, things like that, it appears that most, if not all, of the $661,000 was not an actual overpayment. Instead, the discrepancies were likely caused by the delays it took to get parcels added and other changes reflected in the mowing database. Additionally, mowing contractors do not appear to always mark every parcel that was mowed. Contract requires the actual mow date be input by the contractor into the mowing database, and this is information that should be reviewed by mowing when approving the payments. Found that issues with tying active parcels to a contractor city owned for 13 out of 72 invoices within the scope had parcels listed within invoice support, with at least one parcel on the list of parcels work could not be tied to a contract. In other words, potentially mowing things we shouldn't be mowing. Check the change orders provided to us by the contract manager. We couldn't find one adding the parcels. In the mowing division database, 31 out of 219 active parcels not owned by the city had actual mow dates recorded in the database after the date of disposal by the city. Again, mowing things that we shouldn't. We had some issues with the timeliness of invoices and payment. Some invoices were paid later than the 40-day requirement, although at this time, please remember this was during COVID, and there was also a new system being implemented at the time. With another finding, issues with the proposed mowing schedule. We may not get the mowing that we want done. The database on the schedule mows didn't always agree with contract terms. The setup in the for 1,999 of the 31,340 scheduled mows. The mow was scheduled late per the applicable mowing contract by more than 5 days. So there were some issues we had with the mowing schedule. We had some issues to actual mow dates in the database. Were not accordance with contract terms. We calculated potential liquidated damages of over $150,000 owed to the city based on the number of days late the mowing occurred. Many, if not all, may possibly be explained due to severe rains or storms that disrupted the schedules. However, these explanations were not documented. We found several issues. The actual mowing frequency for parcel types to the contract for 7 out of 8 parcel types. Based on the mowing frequency stated in the contract, the parcels were not mowed enough times during fiscal year 19. There were a small number of parcels that did not have an actual mow date. I have a valid reason for no mow date. And this is most likely for a lack of input. We found various deficiencies in the mowing division's database. Note that many of these have been addressed in the new system. We found that password requirements were insufficient. Mowing contractors could enter a proposed mowing date into the mowing database after the actual mow date was entered. This could allow the mowing contractor to appear compliant with the mowing schedule when in fact they were not. This has been fixed. The mowing division's inspector could change the actual mow dates entered by the mowing contractors, which, like the item above, could bring a contractor into or out of compliance and could impact the penalties calculated for the contractor. This has been fixed, and now they can't edit the actual mow dates. The administrator of the database could see every user's password. Audit log. Issues with user access rights to the mowing database, mainly issues with not removing access of terminated employees. Had to let you know.
I know you had to.
There was some standard operating procedures that were not updated. SOPs needed updating to address new systems and to cover inspections of all parcel types. There was a lack of policy related to frequency of inspections. It was not intended for every parcel to be inspected after each mowing. However, there was not a policy of how often they should occur.
The system that they have, is it a out-of-the-box product or is it an internal system that was built? We'll see it in the inventory the ITD is doing.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, it will be.
Any other questions on this one?
I gave you a lot of information.
That's okay.
Better to be informed.
So, next audit is public parking, all street parking audit. Report number 865.
FYI for the audience, we don't usually have this many audits in a meeting, so forgive us if we have to go through all of it.
This was released on January 5th of 2023. What we found, overall revenue generated from the city's off-street parking facilities were accurately collected, timely deposited with the tax collector's office and accurately recorded in the city's financial system. However, we found several issues as shown. There were mainly parking. there was lack of documented revenue. There was lack of a documented revenue reconciliation process. Daily parking gate activity was not being monitored to identify any potential issues. Special access cards. More in depth on that. The documentation was not on file for about 80% of the special events tested to reconcile cash.
Wait, say that again?
Documentation was not on file for about 80% of the this is for special event parking. Of the events tested to reconcile cash with vehicles parked based on the data we obtained from the gate system. There was a possible underpayment of $2,470. Public parking says this is for users and vendors, but there was no support for this. In other words, on a gate system, every time someone works at the Florida Theater or there's a vendor in the Florida Theater, but they'll push the button and let the gate up. Okay. So while that could explain the variance of the 24/7, because they were saying that, well, we've got vendors, we've got suppliers, we have workers that come in here, but there was no documentation backing that up. So that's what we're saying. And then for locations without gates, there was insufficient evidence to indicate that the supervisors were reconciling what should be collected. The scope on this, the scope was January 2021 through December of 2021. For fiscal year 2021, public office parking had a net revenue of $2.8 million. $1.3 million was from garages and lots. $1.5 was from on-street meters. So we recommended, overall recommendations, we recommended that public parking implement detailed documented policy and procedures to address the items noted above, including ensuring all policies and procedures are up to date. And the public parking needs to consider whether the fees for the access card for monthly parkers should just ponderable fee to simplify the accounting process. And then three, additionally, the city needs to implement procedures to avoid issuing checks for internal transactions, which they're working on currently. That was due from this. City was issuing checks for internal transactions, for example, payroll deduction payments from employees. Public parking with a check. So they're working on this currently to stop doing that right now. So
Adoption's fun.
Point of information.
Yes, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, so we've gone through several of these reports with several to go and other items on the agenda, and I have to be out of here at 5. Is it possible to defer the presentation of the remaining reports until next month? How many other reports will be forthcoming in the next month on top of these?
I do not know that question. I can tell you after this one, I've got two more. But I can, I mean, whatever the chair wants to do, I move
that we defer the presentation of the remaining audit reports until the March meeting.
Okay. Second?
I'll second it, but I have a comment once we approve.
Sure. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion adopted? All right. Commissioner.
It's kind of a question and a comment. Mm-hmm. And I know I haven't been on the commission very long, but in listening to the things that you're saying, how often are audits done for these agencies? And having asked that question, it appears to me that a lot of these agencies and departments have not been documenting things for a fair amount of time. So I guess I'm at a quandary, yes, too. With the new OneCloud system, will a lot of these things be corrected? I think our city agencies are really out of control. It's what I'm hearing, and maybe I'm not hearing correct.
Well, I mean, overall, we didn't find, and remember, these are more conforming performance audits.
Right.
Which the rules are there to stop things from, you know, getting bigger, bug patch, and things like that. We didn't find anything when we were concerned that there was any wrongdoing. Policy procedures not being followed.
So we
have an audit risk plan. Big city, so.
Right. Okay, all right, I was just curious. Yeah. Once every 5 years. For. Thank you.
I just have one question, and we'll move on to the next item. This is just my shot in the dark. I feel like a lot of times when we look at some of these, I'll call them issues as opposed to problems, issues when it comes up to these reports, I almost feel a sense that a lot of it happens because everything, it seems like it's decentralized. Individual departments are responsible for handling certain expenses or reviewing certain documents or making sure that they're in compliance with certain things. And then am I wrong in kind of going in that direction? Or do you feel like you're an employee? Do you feel like everything's kind of centralized in a way that these kind of issues are not often?
I'm not quite sure how to answer that question.
I know, I just kind of like throw it out there.
An example of that previous report you were discussing, and my ears perked up when I heard that there was an inconsistent, if I hope I can phrase this correctly, inconsistent documentation of cash collected being properly receipted and documented. And this is cash.
Yes.
And that causes me major concern, you know, as a taxpayer and as a member of this commission. So,
I wasn't sure if this was, I know this particular division was absorbed by, wasn't it DIA? Within the last year or two. Am I right on that one, Mr. Clements?
Been more than that. It's probably been 3 or 4 years.
Oh, okay.
All on-street parking is now under DIA.
Right.
Correct.
And parking garages.
But these were event parking.
This is all parking.
All parking.
Yeah, okay. All city. Public parking. Or,
you So it's one thing when I use my debit card to pay for on-street parking. It's another thing if I put in quarters for on-street parking. Those quarters really aren't being tracked.
Or like the
cat. It's counted.
And hopefully, I think they put it in some sort of a tube that's secure. Okay.
And then also the cash that may be taken if there's an event, like a concert happening at ViStar. Got it. Okay.
Thank you.
I know you're just the messenger on that one.
Thank you.
Jeff, you had something that you wanted to...
Yeah, each of you have at your place. You asked the question at the last meeting about the federal ARP funds. The 27, I think, page document is the summary of what the city applied for with the federal government and how we propose to spend the ARP money. The two-pager, the front and back, the front is how the money was actually spent in fiscal year 21-22. And then on the back page is how it was all proposed to be allocated in the current fiscal year, 22-23.
Roughly equal amounts in each year. $171,847,895.50 on the first page. And on the first page, $171,847,895. On the back page, $171,847,895.50. The 50 cents coming on the contingency for 2024 and Q1 2025. So $73 million was, quote, reserved for contingency in those fiscal years?
Yes.
So those amounts were not appropriated.
Well, they didn't. If you remember, they didn't get it. The Treasury didn't release half of it in one fiscal year and the other half in the second fiscal year.
All right. So why are the dollar amounts different? I thought these were in two separate fiscal years. I mean, you can't receive 50 cents more in 1 year and 50 cents less in the same year.
That is a good question.
Ask it.
I will have to consult with someone who knows.
So this really does represent the amounts in fiscal year 21-22, which ended last September 30th, 2022.
That was my understanding, but I will have to confirm with. I got these from Mr. Peterson, so
I'll do some additional research on this and maybe try to report back at the March meeting.
Thanks for giving it, Jeff.
Very helpful.
Right. I know it's not on the agenda, but when I spoke to Mr. Samples from the IG's office last month, it almost feels like, I had invited him to speak at this meeting to talk about some recent audits that they had done in regards to contract management. And I know that's been a topic that we have discussed in the past. Before I invite him up, is there anything that you guys want to discuss beforehand?
I would like to just real quickly jump forward on legislative tracking, since I think I was tasked with monitoring that. Yes, and I haven't done a good job, I'll admit. However, a couple of things have caught my eye, and I'd like to inquire about that. I noticed in files to be created February 14th, two appointments to the True Commission, Mr. Jones and Mr. Barr. And I do believe I saw an appointment, I do not remember the gentleman's name, sometime in January.
You're thinking Donovan Bradley.
Yes. What is the status of those appointments?
Mr. Bradley's was withdrawn.
Okay.
Mr. Barr is here, and
Barr.
How's it going?
I'm Raymond Day. We spoke on the phone several weeks ago. I do remember our conversations.
And Carter Jones is the other, and both of those are being introduced in council next Tuesday.
Thank you for applying.
Thank you for the opportunity.
All right, great. I have no further questions.
Wait, they're getting introduced on next Tuesday, you said?
They'll be introduced for first reading next Tuesday.
Okay, so that means that they may be on the commission by the January meeting?
No.
March. April.
I don't know what month I meant.
Neither do I.
Yeah.
So join the club.
Because I know we, true commission appointees, skip the third reading. They just have two. Okay.
All right.
Cool. We're excited to have you, Mr. Barr.
I do have to leave at 5, but I'd like to hear as much as possible from IG.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. Day, I know you're pressed for time, so I'll make this short and sweet, I promise.
You can give me the IG comments for dummies.
I'll give you the dummy version.
I'll be happy to read them.
So. Yes. Matthew LaSalle, I'm the Inspector General for the State of Jacksonville.
And Mr. I'm Samples, sorry.
Samples is at training right now, so you're stuck with this with the fill-in.
I'm sorry. I was thinking about it when I was looking.
That's all right. What I really want to do, or I asked Rick to do, is come and address the True Commission and let you know that between the auditor's work and the True Commission's work, I want you guys to know that we actually read those reports. I know you probably don't believe that, but we do. And from those, it generates quite a bit of interest and work for my office, quite frankly. And some of those things have been discussed today. We've recently done investigations or reviews on to include, I know you talked about infrastructure protection with employees who have recently left the city. We did an extensive report on that and recommended things to the city. So when audit does their thing, when the city auditor does their thing, it's targeted at one particular office, one particular function. We take those audits and extrapolate those across the entire city. So, for example, if they do an audit and they find that there's a city employee who still has access after their termination, we then take that information and go to the entire city and ask everybody, have you looked at your systems and make sure that you've fixed these problems? So we leverage your True Commission and we leverage the city councilor's audits to do those types of things on a broader scope. Some of the recent examples of that would be the infrastructure thing. Another example would be pay and allowances. We did one for JAA, the Aviation Authority, gave bonuses out to some of their folks for a Boeing contract. Well, we looked at the entire city to see what their structure looked like for everybody. So I wanted to let you know, kind of give you feedback, that we do look at what you guys are discussing. We do look at the city auditor's reports, and from that we generate more of a global, holistic look at the city and try to make, because to your point earlier about our things, like a microcosm where it's just each individual office does their own thing, to a certain extent, yes. So the purpose of us is to look at those issues and apply them across the whole city. Additionally, I wanted to correct one of the things that you guys brought up in your meetings last time was a discussion that came up during the IGSRC about not seeking accreditation. I wanted to clarify that actually wasn't the case. What the case was I was asking input from the IGSRC what their thoughts were about not seeking accreditation. And to be clear, it's not law enforcement accreditation that we have. We're accredited as an inspector general's office. So because of manpower issues and other issues, we were contemplating not pursuing that, but have since, reversed that course, and we absolutely will pursue accreditation. But I just really wanted to just come and say hello and let you guys know that your work is very valuable to me. The city auditor's work is very valuable to me. I know this may seem a little bit, mundane sometimes, but there's all kinds of information that I can extract from these things and use those for the betterment of the city. And that's why we're there. Any questions for me?
Yeah, I was curious I'm sorry, did you have a question?
Go ahead.
I was curious from the audits that you did for contract management, if you notice any type of pattern for some of the ones that you kind of picked out.
Well, you'll note that the legislation is now, I think, either been recently proposed or is about to be proposed for a new grant manager. That came as a direct result of one of our investigations. So we looked at the Ryan White grant in particular and saw in there the contract had language that required the grantee to return money to the city if it was not expended. During that grant period, they were originally given $40,000. The grantee only spent $2,000 and didn't return the $38,000 to the city as required by contract. So us doing the review, we noted that. So during this process, they went back to the city council and asked for an additional $20,000. Well, they hadn't spent the first 40, and now they're getting an additional 20. So again, we noted that as a problem citywide, where the grants, the execution, and the follow-up on grants was not adequate. So I think I know that as a direct result of that, the city has added, trying to bolster their posture on grants and grant approval and grant execution.
And that would be in the grants office?
It would be in the grants office, correct.
Okay. And is there anything that you notice in terms of like the solicitation process with the way that they would do certain things? Because I know you did a really good job of kind of like outlining the procurement process.
The procurement process. And again, I don't want to toot the horn for the IG, but this is my opportunity to do that. You'll see legislation coming up that's going to change that as well. We've consulted with Councilmember Cumber is sponsoring that, and it's a rewrite of the procurement code.
Okay, I saw that, but I wasn't sure what the generation from that was, but I'm glad
yes,
to hear.
Yes, so we're involved in that heavily as well. So our input in there is just that for contract oversight. You talked about that earlier, where each contract, as the auditor's office said, is supposed to have someone within that contract who monitors the execution of the contract. And sometimes it's done, sometimes it's not.
Is there a white paper that you guys have, or Jeff, I'm not sure if there's a council summary that kind of outlines what changes will happen once, if the new bill is adopted?
I'm not familiar with a white paper. I can tell you the before and after.
There is a bill summary.
Okay.
It's a very lengthy bill summary. Maybe the longest one I've ever written.
Really?
Yeah. It's
saying something.
I think it's a 3-pager because it was a very substantial rewrite. So.
Okay. I'll make sure to look at that. Yeah. Has it been heard by any committee yet? Or?
No, I don't believe it has.
I don't think it has.
Okay.
And we were heavily involved with Ms. Cumber and company in writing that. Any additional questions?
I think it may have been deferred, at least in finance. And I don't think anybody else has looked at it yet.
Mr. Day, as promised.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right.
5 o'clock on the dot. Thank you. You keep on raising your hand.
On which issue?
The procurement.
Yes. Yes.
So that's why I wasn't going
through
the
various
times.
Got it.
Potentially.
Okay.
Correct.
All right.
But like I said, I just want to follow up with you guys and let you know that we do look at what you do. I think it's very important. We do piggyback off the city councilors or the auditor's office and, generate work from that.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Really appreciate you sticking in there.
Absolutely.
All right. Do we have any commissioner comments?
No, I think I've commented. I would like to thank Mr. Carter for his hard work in reporting, bringing those reports to us. You do a great job. It's very informative, very happy to hear the information. Maybe responses are not, don't reflect that. So I just want to thank you for your work.
Sorry for the length of them, but
oh no,
oh no,
it's
okay. Problem.
That's okay. We didn't meet last month, so.
Yeah, was it because it was like right after budget season, so you guys had the capacity to kind of do those reports, or is it just the timing that it kind of
timing? They were all in the pipeline, and of course they get put aside during budget. Fairly close to being finished to put out to publish, and so that's why it's timing issue.
When budget's over, then the dam breaks and they come flooding out.
Okay. All right. I think the chair comments is more like questions. Jeff, I know right before Christmas, we were kind of going back and forth about possible times for some members from Finance Administration to come. So I just wanted to see if there was an update in terms, because I know Mr. Gravy was on paternity leave.
Yes. I talked to him on Tuesday at the finance meeting. He's the one who recommended this to you on the ARP. I give credit for this to Philip Peterson in the auditor's office. I called him to ask if there was any kind of a tabulation of all of it, and he said, oh, you know what? We did one. There was one at a budget hearing and told me where to find it. So that's how you come to have that. Mr. Grivey said that he will come to the March meeting and talk about the other two. I think he said he thought that the capital improvement process would be very simple. And then contract management. So, yeah, we can anticipate seeing him at the March meeting.
Okay, cool.
And he would have been here today, but there was a long-standing appointment on his calendar that he couldn't make.
That's okay. I appreciate him committing to come. I feel like we've gotten the upper echelon of finance and administration at these meetings. All right. We don't have any old business or new business unless Commissioner Roundsville, you had some items that you wanted to address at all. The one question, Mr. Clements, Mr. Jones and Mr. Barr, are those both council president appointees?
Yes, those are both president appointees.
Okay. Did you ever hear anything from the downtown CPAC? Because I was under the understanding that their chair planned on appointing herself.
Who do we know who that is?
Kim Pryor.
I have not heard anything about getting an application from her. They wouldn't necessarily come to me, but
yeah, and it would go through neighborhoods through their. Yeah, I forgot the roles. Well, they all have someone assigned for each one of their CPACs.
A coordinator. Yeah, but no, I have not heard that we've received anything from her.
So that would mean that with those two appointments from Council President Freeman, he would still have two that are available?
I believe that is correct. Let's see. Yes, he would still have two vacancies.
Okay. Slowly but surely. All right. Our next meeting is scheduled for March the 2nd. We'll have Mr. Gravy here to talk about CIP and contract management. Audit Committee and Legislative Tracking Committee will meet on the call of their individual chairs if a commissioner is interested in discussing that. I know that we'll get the remaining two reports at our next meeting as well, so it should be really fruitful. Any other business a commissioner would like to discuss before we adjourn? No. All right. Seeing as we technically do not have a quorum, then I'll just declare the meeting adjourned. So thank you so much, and we'll see you on March the 2nd.
Oh, here's my...